everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 237. That is 237 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about.
Literally pinging each other about.
Yeah. No, I every once in a while, I like to refresh people's memories. This is not about ICMP. ICMP? Is that right?
Yeah, yes. It's ICMP protocol.
Pinging is our term. I don't know if it's Microsoft specific. I've heard people other in the technology industry say it. For me, it's the lowest common denominator way to get in contact with someone, whatever that context may be, right? So it may be IMing, it may be via text, it may be a call, maybe driving by in the hallway.
Snapchat.
I've been banned from Snapchat.
Who knows? Could be anything.
That's its own story.
Could be anything.
In 236, we asked you, Bing and Cortana are doing new predictions. What would you like to have predicted next? No one actually really said anything about that, but we did get some other comments.
Yes. I see John Vizio MVP was asking about Bing Rewards, US only. If you actually look in the replies, you'll see that we responded to that. And, you know, being a fellow Canadian, and I know you're Canadian, I feel your pain. And unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff that just goes out, and we talk about it thinking that it's worldwide, but in actual fact, it's only the US.
Yeah, we could look at that a little more. Although we did do the whole international sport. Actually, that's what last week was.
It was all about
cricket and international sports and stuff, so we do try to do this.
We're getting better.
But we did reply, and there may be a way to get around and get your still credits.
And this is where the lawyers have their say in the cross little bottom right there. It says, we are not legal people and do not accept legal advice.
As I said,
there may be something. Who knows?
We'll point in the comments. Develop KC says, have either of you tried the HoloLens?
No.
Have you?
I have not. Interesting to see how Bing does with stock markets and visualization. Gas price predictions would be nice.
Also, like sales price predictions. So that's interesting because Bing Travel did this for a while. If you pick out a flight.
If you bought it now, it's going to be this much. If you waited for the next couple of days, it would go a little bit up or a little bit down.
Yeah, it'd give you basically a predictor, an up or down or even arrow saying, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was one of their big selling points. I think that went away, unfortunately. It was very difficult because you got to think a price for a specific flight may be one thing, but to get from one place to another, new flights can be scheduled, flights can be canceled, like things get booked and not. So it was really interesting while it lasted. I used it a bunch. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
I use crowdsourcing for things like gas prices, obviously, you know, various different apps to be able to do that.
Man, I guess for me it's always like convenience, like what's on my way.
I think there's some secret power in the back room that simply goes in and like presses the up button on the gas prices and then randomly presses it back down again before you go off
the door. We both use Waze, so that also, if you hit like the gas button, will give you the price in the area. And I've used it sometimes, like, I can make it the extra. Well, because, you know, around here, you could drive between very different neighborhoods that have very different prices.
In different counties, yeah.
Yeah, so especially when I'm playing sports and arenas are spread out across all over the county, mm-hmm. I could be down in like Renton or Kent, where it may be cheaper than being like downtown Seattle. So,
I hear Maple Valley has cheap gas.
That's a little out of the way. Let's start the show.
Yeah. Nothing says geek love like remote-controlled metal robots tearing each other apart, flame-throwing, and flipping each other around.
I think incendiary devices were banned.
Oh.
But
I guess for safety reasons. Maybe the new rules are going to change.
They should.
Because apparently they're bringing BattleBots back to TV this summer.
This summer on ABC, you will see robot-on-robot warfare. There may be some changes. Rumors have it that weight classes will go away.
Weight class? Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting, because before there were like four or five different ones, just like if you're watching MMA or boxing, there's weight classes, and they went down from like grams to kilograms, right? the flipping, spinning, attacking metal bots, which I remember watching through, was my high school years, will return on ABC this summer.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see it back. There have been different incarnations of this over time.
I mean, it's kind of cool, the fact that they're bringing this back. I was never a huge fan of it, but I did follow occasionally when some interesting things came up. You know, I remember things like was the guy. The guy's off of MythBusters. One of the guys who was a competitor for that one.
Yeah.
And he was big on the BattleBots. And you know, it's probably just an indication of changing trends back in society these days. Of being able to get back into robotics is so accessible now.
Yeah, as I was saying, like before, it was this is finally possible, and you had like the hardcore hobbyists and people who had like metalworking and electronics and electronic engineering. You know how to put it together. I think now it's coming back around because it's gone down to like the casual hobbyist.
It's an extension of the maker movement, right?
Absolutely. You can pick up a Raspberry Pi or Arduino or one of those new Intel boards that are cheap, like sub $50, and give you control over motors and things. And there's great websites out there that will lead you through tutorials on how to do everything from making your own remote control cars to gyrocopters and all sorts of things. So. I'm excited to see it. I want to see if we can start a local one. Even if it's just Microsoft-wide, maybe Seattle-wide. I'd battle people. We'd film it here. We could do it. It would tear apart the green screen. Probably a bad idea.
We could bring incendiaries to ours.
Valentine's Day was just last week, and what a better way to have two things meet than two services in the cloud. Coming together, and two unlikely pairings. They say opposites attract sometimes. So to what seemed to be a surprise to many people, Office 365 is now direct partners with Box, which is another cloud storage service that's been out there for about 10 years. I think in the article they say they opened up shop in 2005, which is kind of scary. That was 10 years ago. What happened to Y2K?
I know, man.
But at Box, they wrote this blog. Aaron Levy, whose title is
Chief Magician.
Magician
/ CEO.
I like the magician part better.
Yeah.
Wrote an article entitled "A More Open Enterprise," and it's just the start of what is we've been saying for a while. You know, our products are available everywhere where you are, and we've been trying to live up to that promise. And this is just another place where we can integrate. Intimately with our products into other services. You don't need to use our entire stack. You can use us where we're convenient and where we're best for you.
So this is actually the Microsoft Cloud Storage Partner Program.
Yes.
And Box is joining, besides Box, is joining Citrix and Salesforce as two other partners, so three altogether, that are part of that particular program that basically allows you to go off and store and have access to your resources and stuff within Office from their solutions.
Directly. Right. So that means native integrations with both Office for iPad and iPhone, as well as Office Online, new connections in Office that will enable entire businesses to work effectively with their data the way they want it, which is really like where the power lies, you know, being able to control your own data.
My favorite quote is actually from Aaron. It was a tweet that he put out on February 17th. Microsoft is truly becoming open, a huge win for customers and the industry, and a huge loss for Microsoft jokes. To which Microsoft, @Microsoft, responded, thank you. Comic Sans is still fair game, though. You know you've arrived when you've got Comic Sans jokes going on from the official Twitter handles that are verified, too.
Yes. We better have that little check mark.
Nice.
From the space desk, we are sending people to Mars. Not we, Microsoft.
Yeah. Mars One Project.
The Mars One Project, which is a private nonprofit organization whose goal is to send people up to Mars.
I think we talked about this.
We did when they opened up applications.
Yeah, when they brought it up for the application.
So the application
was way
202,000 people who watched our show applied.
Of course, just because of our show.
And so we're very happy to have given people this opportunity. Well, the application pool just announced the 100 people who were selected.
Right.
So they previously
technically
had
99 plus one alien,
whose name is M1K0.
50 men and 50 women.
Who was developed in Poland, apparently.
Right. Well, no, he was a Martian that lives in Poland, and he's willing to go back and explore his home planet.
But, you know, it'd be nice to have someone who's familiar with the area.
You know, it's like, right over here is the watering hole.
More
over here is the great place for a nice, you know, sausage. You want to have a sausage in a bun.
But locals always know like the bad area you want to stay at.
Yeah, that's true.
So like, I imagine the bad areas on Mars, maybe pretty bad.
Very true.
So these 100 folks will get a chance to head on a one-way trip to Mars. That red planet that seems so kind of ominous out there has been really the subject of a whole ton of science fiction throughout the years because of its I guess, semi-proximity to us and the kind of red glow. And
in case you're wondering about the breakdown, international breakdown of 50 men, 50% men, 50% women, we've got 39 from the Americas, 33 from the U.S. out of that, 31 from Europe, 16 from Asia, 7 from Africa, and 7 from Oceania.
Excellent. If you did not get in this round, there are new application rounds that will soon to follow. There's also the SpaceX program, who also, I think, doesn't have an official program like with a date or anything, but they have said that that is one of their goals, is to get off planet as well. So
they're going to be basically going to a habitat that's supposed to mimic the life of Mars and live there for 2 years?
It was some period of time. Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was. It'll be interesting. There's a lot of challenges, obviously. There's zero infrastructure.
Yeah.
There's not a quick way to get resources out there. Some are saying it's a not very smart mission to go on.
They said at the very beginning, you go on this mission, we're not paying for you to come back. It's a one-way ticket.
Yeah, they're not building spaceships on Mars yet to come back.
Maybe it's coming back.
But it's literally the final frontier, right? This is how space exploration will begin. This is kind of exciting. There's a video on the article that has kind of the promo video that now that they've announced the latest round, go check it out on the blog. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade your hardware, Microsoft has just announced a new trade-in program.
It's one of many. We do a lot of trade-in options.
Quite often. It's great. You can either go to the Microsoft Store for some of these. This one is an online way to trade up your in the family of Surface devices.
Four easy steps. I'm looking at the page right now.
Four easy steps. What are they?
Huh?
What are they?
Number one, visit our site to determine your trade-in value. So as an example, you're just telling me before we started that you could get maybe up to $100 for a large RT device with a keyboard.
I was pricing out the original Surface RT, which is basically the least expensive of all of them.
Right.
And it was somewhere like between $80 and $90, and that wasn't even with like a type keyboard or anything. Mm-hmm. You go in, you select which of the Surface family you have. You put in a couple options, like is it working or not working? Did you have a touch or type keyboard? What size was it? Fill in all those options. It'll give you an estimated amount. You send in your device, and they will email you a code you use to then use at checkout to get your discount on a Surface Pro 3. So you can get up to $650 towards your device.
You cannot do devices that are owned by your employer. I was just thinking of all these different people with like
not illegal
tags on there.
Not illegal.
Not very.
Just against your employment agreement.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you're willing to risk your paycheck for that,
for $100,
probably not the best idea.
Anyway, the good thing is they got every single Surface device there listed, the different versions, the version one, version two, and that sort of stuff. And it's simply they click through and go. Then it involves having to go off, obviously, and package and ship up your device to send it away. Pretty cool idea, man. Yeah. Coupon code to be able to apply, to be able to get your...
Yeah, I always am afraid that like my devices just depreciate over time to where they're worth nothing. It's nice to maybe be able to upgrade and get some value out of them while you still can and run on the newer hardware.
I like to repurpose my devices.
I have too many now.
Well, you know, do you remember one of the very first Asus tablets that were big and thick, white, and it was...
Like what generation are we talking about here?
Like we're talking like...
Windows XP tablet edition?
No, not XP.
It was one of my first tablets.
It was for 7.
Mm-hmm.
But that actually makes a beautiful photo frame that you can mount on your
My RT actually right now is a photo frame on my end table. It's great because I just point it to a share I have in OneDrive, and then I just drop photos whenever I want in there, and then just refreshes.
Actually, collages. As a woodworker, I actually built a nice frame to go around
nice.
So it looks like a picture on the wall.
Very cool. Thanks for watching episode 237 of Ping. That is 237 episodes in the can. I don't know why saying the same number twice is hard sometimes. As always, you can continue the conversation with us in many, many various ways.
Yep.
I was going to mention you can follow us on Twitter. If you do, you may have noticed I tweeted out a link to the Microsoft Xbox Ultimate Sale, or what it was called. It was ridiculous.
What is our hashtag that we follow?
Our hashtag is hashtag Ping Show.
Do it over here so there's room for it to fit on the screen.
Well, I did it upside down, so you can...
that could work. Hashtag Ping Show. But yes, I saw that. And you got some good interaction, actually.
Yeah. So the reason it wasn't part of the show and I tweeted it out is because it's going to be over by the time the next show. It was announced after the last show was recorded and before the next one's going to be
up. I picked up EA Sports NBA 2015 for $9.
There were games on there for like $3.50. Yeah. Like, and it was even bigger sales if you're a gold member. So I love seeing the encouragement to get in gold. It actually made sense to purchase a month of gold if you're doing some of those.
It made dollars. if you want to get one of these little channel line guys, you can also send us the good old-fashioned snail mail at The Pink Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20.
Yes.
One Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Our individual Twitters.
The Twitters, yes.
Are at Mark DeFalco.
And I'm at sign Rickster CDN.
Facebook.com/The Pink Show. Give us a like on there, if you will.
Got us.
We will announce our shows in those many venues. And obviously, you can comment in the comments below.
I finally got around to doing an automatic posting of our shows onto the Facebook feed.
Thank you.
Did you notice that?
Thank you so much. Yes, after I posted it and then your automatic post came in.
Oh.
We need to communicate better. We should tweet at each other.
We could ping each other.
Oh, that's a good use of the word.
Nice.
So
question of the week.
I was most interested in the battle box.
Yeah, so I would say let's do a battle box themed question.
What would yours be? How big? What would your weapon of choice be?
Yeah, let's be specific. What is your weapon of choice?
Yeah, so I mean, I remember the old ones, there were like, actually I looked at the Wikipedia article and there are categories.
Yeah.
And, like, there were the flippers, ones who try to get underneath and flip your bot over. There were the ones who had like overhead weapons. There were the spinning ones who basically were giant flails.
And the ones with the saw that would come down.
Yeah, all sorts of kinds. And it was almost like a rock, paper, scissors-esque kind of battle where—
Any electrocutions?
Could
you
fry
it? Or does that count, does that count as fire?
Electromagnetic interference was banned,
right.
So you can like shut off someone's radio. There was a very few set. It's almost like the UFC, right? Like, it's no holds barred, but you know, no eye gouging. Come on, like let's be gentlemanly about this. There's gentlemanly robot
possibly
combat.
Be. Yeah. I don't know. So now you got me fired up to possibly even join a league. So if you're going to be doing something, maybe I'll see if I can latch.
You know who we got to contact?
What?
Clint.
Oh yeah, of course. Clint would be awesome at that.
We'll make some robots.
Ginormous robots.
Oh, no, okay, we need some limitations. For him, he makes giant car-sized and chair-sized robots.
I got
robots.
To drive one of those things, eh?
Really?
Yes, I got to drive
the robots?
One of the battle boxing
I got to get punched in the head by one.
Nice.
No, that wasn't very good.
What do you guys think? Leave your comments below inside the comment section. Make yourself an individual star here on The Pink Show with what kind of attack mechanism and or style of your robot would you make?
Very well. We will see you next week.
Time. I'm getting this one.